privilege each time we have the opportunity to come down here to this great, great church with these great shepherds that you have down here. And you know they say birds of a feather flock together. And I appreciate Pastor Redfern letting you know that we're not fake or phony. But it's so glad that I also know that you down here, you're not fake and you're not funny. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We can just be real for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, before I get started this morning, did anyone have the opportunity to wake up this morning and look out at the world? You might have seen some trees. You might have seen some birds. You saw the clouds, the beautiful sky. Hallelujah. But what you saw was not all that was going on in our world. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going on in our world. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing new because some of the same things was going on during the lives of the early church. Peter put it this way. He said, Lord, behold their threatenings. See, right now the world is doing everything it can to hurt the church, to hurt God's people. They were doing it then, and Peter said, behold their threatenings. But let me tell you what Peter also said. He said, but now, Lord, grant unto your servants that with all boldness they might speak your word. In spite of all that is going on, stretch forth your hand to heal and let signs, miracles, and wonders be done in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you so glad that the God we serve does not change? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what we saw this morning when we woke up was not all that was going on in the world. If I can put it in my own terms, a blind man could see that our world is growing darker. A blind man can see that our country is growing darker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me have the scriptures that we want to read from this morning. Matthew chapter 26. And we want to consider verses 36 through 38. King James Version, please. Matthew 26. And I'm reading. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Verse 37. And when he rose up from prayer, No, we want verse 36 through 38, please, of Matthew 26. But leave that up there. We can go ahead and get that. Okay. 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Verse 38, please. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. We're talking about Jesus here. Now let us go to Luke chapter 22. We only want to consider one verse. That is verse 44. And Jesus said, and it says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Let me read that again. I need you to catch this. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We're talking about what Jesus was experiencing here. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time unto everything under, to every purpose under the sun. During this particular writing of these scriptures, the particular time that Jesus was in, when these writers talked about, Jesus was entering into his night season. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter where you live, no matter your address, your night season will find you. Let me step down and say that. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter your address, wherever you are. Can I speak truth this morning? Your night season will find you. There's the night and there's the day. When we can look up and see the sunshine, see the birds flying, and we can find our way so easy, we know that is the daytime. But it can't be daytime always. When the sun hides its face and there appear to be darkness everywhere, and when it seems so much more difficult for us to find our way, we understand that it is the nighttime. The subject we want to use to preach from this morning is our night season. Say that with me. Our night season. Now, if Jesus, being the only begotten Son of God, and he had to enter into his night season, how much more do you and I need to understand we too must enter into our night season? But if the truth really had to be told, we would do everything we could to avoid entering into our night season. See, the day season is the time of our exhortation. It is the time of our rewards. It's when we can see the sunshine. Everything seems to be going well. And it's so easy for us to find our way to negotiate through the path of life. Hallelujah. Trouble doesn't last always. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And that's why God gave us tears. He knew that it was going to be necessary for us sometime to shed tears when we enter into our night season. Now, I ain't telling you what I heard, but I'm preaching from what I know. Not only have I experienced one night season, but I've experienced several night seasons. Didn't want to experience any of the night season. Would have done anything I could to avoid experiencing the night season. But that is not the case. We all must enter into our night season. So here we are in these scriptures. Matthew is sharing with us about the situation of Jesus. Luke, also being a part of the synoptic gospels, he's telling the same story, but telling it just a little bit different. He brings something out that the book of Matthew does not bring out. Here it is, we find Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah. Yeah. But Luke lets us know that he was in agony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Agony. Agony is not identified with our day season when everything is going well. But agony is identified with our night season. Let me tell you a little bit about agony. Webster defines agony as a very great mental and physical pain. See, when you get into your night season, do not think it's strange that you have to experience a very great mental and physical pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. See, that will help you understand that you're no longer in your day season, but you're now in your night season. Mm-hmm. Another definition that Webster gives for agony, it is a very convulsive struggle. Yeah, convulsive struggle. When you get into your night season, there's going to be a convulsive struggle going on the inside of you. The struggle is whether or not you're going to believe the word of God and what God says, or whether or not you're going to believe the lies of the devil. When you're in that great mental and physical pain, when you're in that convulsive struggle, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God, or are you going to believe the devil?
Amen.
Another definition that Webster gives of agony, he says agony is distress. Mm-hmm. I can identify with that. There have been times when I've been in my night season, I experience distress. Hallelujah. But the definition that I like most that Webster gives of agony is this. Agony is a contest for victory. That's a good place to shout right there. Uh-huh. Agony, hallelujah, is a contest for victory. So here it is. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And Gethsemane is not just a place that he went to by happenstance, but it is the place that Jesus would steal away to, and he made it his prayer closet.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is, Jesus, he's in his night season, and because he recognized he was in his night season, he stole away to his prayer closet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, in your prayer closet is an excellent place to be when you find yourself in your night season.
Yeah.
Gonna help somebody this morning. Hallelujah. Didn't come with a feel-good message, but I come with a word of God that's gonna help not only you, but it's gonna help me, because I know I'm gonna have to go into another night season. So I need a word that's gonna prepare me even more for the next time I go into my night season. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that Jesus was in agony. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll be in agony when we're in our night season. But the Bible also lets us know the fact that Jesus was in agony, it caused him to pray more earnestly. Hallelujah, Jesus. You need to, that's a bullet right there. That's a point you need to remember. The next time you get in your, hallelujah, your night season and agony is all over you, that's why you need to learn how to pray more earnestly. Jesus told his disciples, can you not pray with me for just 1 hour? When was the last time we found ourselves in our night season and prayed more earnestly. Our little 5 and 10 minute prayers won't help us when we're in our night season. We got to learn how to pray more earnestly. Thank you for God. See, here we understand that as Jesus was getting closer and closer to Calvary's cross, as he was getting closer and closer for the purpose and the will of God to be fulfilled in his life, it brought Jesus to his night season. As you and I get closer and closer to the purpose and the will of the Father for our lives, it's going to also bring us into a night season. See, everybody has a night season. Joseph, he had his night season. He was thrown into the pit. He was sold into slavery. He had to work as a slave in Potiphar's house. He was lied on by Potiphar's wife, and he was also thrown in prison. Everybody's going to experience a night season. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But that wasn't the end for Joseph. Jesus, when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he exemplified something they call humiliation. Yo, you got to understand, humiliation must be exemplified when you're in your night season. What is humiliation? Humiliation is when something is made to be of little value. Humiliation is when something is brought from one estate to a lower position than what it normally is. That's what happened to Jesus. He was the very Son of God. He walked and did miracles upon the earth, but in his night season, he had to be humiliated. He had to be brought low. What happens when Jesus showed humiliation? The Bible says he went and prayed. He knew what was before him. He knew the pain and the sufferings of Calvary Cross. He went and prayed. Yes, sir. And the Bible says, and he went and prayed again. And that wasn't the end. He went and kept on praying until God's purpose and will for his life lined up with God. That's what we got to do when we're in our night season. We got to let ourselves be brought low and let the purpose and will that the Father has for us be exemplified when we're in our night season. So Joseph, because he showed humility in all that was happening to him, Joseph exemplified humility. So what did God do? He brought Joseph out of his night season, and he became the prime minister of Egypt. He spoiled that which had him in his night season. So when Joseph became prime minister down there in Egypt, the children of Israel were living on Easy Street. They were God's people. And because Joseph had spoiled his night season, God's children were able to live on Easy Street. But we can't live on Easy Street all the time. We here in America, we've been living on Easy Street compared to what other believers in the different parts of the world have been suffering for a long time. We've been having it good. As a matter of fact, there have been times in my life that I told God, God, I've never had it this good before. Never had it so good. Never had it so good. I was in my day season. But the day season for God's children in Egypt had to come to an end, and they had to come into their night season. But when you come into your night season, God has a purpose and a will. He wants to bring you out. Bring you out. So he told Moses, he said, go down there and tell my people I'm going to bring them out of their night season.
Yes,
mm-hmm. And I like the way God does things. He said, you tell them when I bring them out, I'm not going to bring them out empty. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cause them to spoil the Egyptian.
Yes,
and when I cause them to spoil the Egyptians, I'm going to bring them out with silver and with gold.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And in other words, if I can put it in my own words, God told his children, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Anybody besides me, hallelujah, got a problem with God giving you double for your trouble because you've been in your night season?
Yes, sir.
See, it really doesn't matter how long you are in your night season. The only thing that really matters is how much spoils you bring out of your night season. Thank you for God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So why would God want us to bring out spoils out of our night season? I'm so glad you asked that. When God brought his people out, he told Moses, he said, come up here on the top of the mountain. I need to give you some more instructions. He said, I want you to go back down and I want you to tell my people, I want them to build me a tabernacle, the Mosaic tabernacle. And this was so important to God that he told Moses on four different occasions, he said, make sure you do it just the way I'll tell you. He said, the placing of the seven pieces of furniture have to be in just the right place. Hallelujah. So as God is going to bring us out of our night season, he wants us to understand that as we spoil our circumstances, spoil our temptation, spoil our trials, he wants every spoil to be a brick that we use in the building ourselves up as a tabernacle under God. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how long you stay in your night season. Night season is coming. But the only thing that God wants us to do is spoil our night season. Hallelujah.